One issue, I guess you maybe you can comment on, would be you get the subpoena or you get the investigative, and you've got to decide, do you conduct an internal review by your office? Do you bring in outside counsel? Do you report to the audit committee or a board of independent directors and get them to manage this? How do you go through the process of sorting those issues out? Yeah. At the beginning, obviously, yeah, it changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Facts and circumstances, of course, govern. And you're relying as an initial matter on the allegations that have been asserted. Of course, if it's something involving executive management, then that will naturally influence my decision to probably take it to the board. Outside counsel is the criteria involved for me usually involves that of certainly competency, capacity, and the idea of objectivity. And when I speak of objectivity, certainly we hope to be internally objective as well, but sometimes the appearance of objectivity is of paramount importance as well.
Well, Holly, can you give us an idea, maybe you and Jeff both, about how the audit firms review and evaluate at the beginning the whole process here, because I know some of the internal investigations that we were involved in earlier in my career, the tension between the audit firm and the company, it was apparent all the way throughout, and that's not good or bad, that's just a fact. So can you give us some insight on that issue?
Sure, maybe I'll start and then you can add. Yeah, so I mean, I think that the auditors, and we'll get more into mm-hmm. it, about kind of why do we care? Why do the auditors actually want to know stuff up front? I mean, one of the things that we are certainly interested in, you actually started to touch on this, you know, the auditors don't necessarily need to know or want to, maybe they want to know, but they don't need to know every single investigation that is ongoing within an organization. There's really kind of, I would call maybe three criteria broadly. There could be others. But really, we're looking at it from a risk perspective, right? What is the nature of the allegation? Is it a nature that involves, is an allegation that involves executive management? We want to know about that because that can have an impact on, you know, our trust, our understanding of management integrity. We want to know if there's an allegation that is related to financial reporting. So it's going to obviously impact the financial statement. That is a critical type of allegation that we really want to know, and we want to know it as quickly as possible. I would say the third broad category is really when we look at it from a value perspective or a monetary perspective, meaning how significant is the allegation? If it's a minor allegation that it's a petty theft, it is, it's something that's dealing with low level, we think that it's really not significant. Maybe that's not one that needs to be an alert immediately, but those are kind of three broad categories. And we want to understand it because we need to quickly get up to speed on what's happening, because we as auditors have a responsibility that we need to understand the effectiveness of the investigation. We need to understand the competency of those that are investigating, because we actually have to document and put that in our audit work papers. We have a professional responsibility, and there are auditing standards and requirements that require us to document certain things. Let me pause there and see if you have other things to add.
Well, I would agree with that. I think, as it relates to our work papers, what happens when the auditors are made aware of an issue, they go to the forensics group and you know, they start what's called a shadow investigation. And in that instance, the forensic accountants become part of the audit team. And so we're governed by, you know, all of the auditing standards as it relates to our work papers, our necessary audit evidence and things like that. So what will happen at the onset is, you know, the shadow investigation team will get formed. And then really what we're doing initially, and you touched on it, we're evaluating the company's response to whatever the issue is. How did they respond? Did they sit on this for 6 months and not tell us about it? Who did they hire? Who's how competent is the team? Is the team, the investigative team, independent? Should they be independent? And then, you know, objectivity. And obviously the independence and the objectivity are related. I will tell you, you know, we've seen, at least I've seen over the last couple of years, companies in certain instances hiring outside their outside counsel, their normal outside counsel, to do some of these investigations. And depending on the investigation, that may be fine. But we've had real issues with that lately, in that, you know, we did not necessarily agree with that decision. Now, we have to remain independent. We can't, you know, tell the audit client what to do. But if we question that objectivity, that's going to govern how much work we do as a shadow team.
Well, it seems to me my experience has been that finding out early on if either the audit firm or the audit firm's forensic people have concerns about that getting that put together and assessed really at the outset is almost critical.
Exactly.
Worth noting in my commitment to you all is you're going to get a lot of transparency up here to the extent possible.